Zayd ibn Sa'abit has narrated that the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, said, "Verily, I leave behind among you two weighty things, the Book of Allah and my progeny, my Ahlul Bayt, and they are two successors after me, and they will not separate till they reach me at the pond."
It is narrated by Abu Sa'id Khudri and Ikmal ad-Din, Mani al-Akbar, and Qais Sal that the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, said, "I am leaving behind me for you two heavy things, one of which is more precious than the other. One is the Book of Allah, which is a rope stretched from the sky to the earth, and other is my progeny. Surely these two will not get separated from one another, until they come to me on the Hawz-e Kawthar." The narrator says, "I asked Abu Sa'id, who is his progeny? He said, his Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them."
Ibn Babawayh has quoted Hadith Sakalain in Ikmal ad-Din from Abu Sa'id Khudri with 25 chains of narrators, from Salabi, Abu Hurairah, Amir al-Mu'minin, alayhi salam, Zayd ibn Arkam, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, Abu Zar Ghifari, Zayd ibn Sa'abit and other companions of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
Ali ibn Ibrahim has recorded in his tafsir or commentary that the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, had said, in the farewell hajj, at Masjid Kif, that I am your waymark and I will reach Hawz-e Kawthar before you. You will arrive after me. This house is so large that its span is equal to the distance between Basra and Sham, up to Sana'a, Yemen. On its bank, there are so many cups of pure silver, their number is equal to the number of stars in the sky. There, I will definitely ask you about the two weighty things, as to how you behaved with them." People asked, "What are the two weighty things?" He replied, "One is the Book of Allah, which is the greater weighty thing, and one of its end is with Allah and another in your hands. So hold it fast, so that you may not go astray and never fall in fault. Another is my progeny, which is my Ahlul Bayt, alayhimas salam, Bibi Fatima and the true Imams. Verily, I have been informed by the kind and merciful, knower of the apparent and the hidden, that both of these two will not get separated from one another, until they come to me on the Hawz-e Kawthar, like the closeness of my these two fingers." He said this, joining the two index and the middle fingers, and then said, "I do not say that you should consider one of them bigger or greater than the other, exactly like my these two fingers, one of which is bigger than other." He said this, joining his forefinger with his thumb.
As said previously about Hadith Sakalain, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, said, "Verily, I have been informed by the kind and merciful, knower of the apparent and the hidden, that both the Holy Quran and my progeny, Bibi Fatima and the true 12 infallible Imams, will not get separated from one another, until they come to me on the Hawz-e Kawthar, like the closeness of my these two fingers." When the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, joined his two fingers of his one hand, it was meant to show that they will not get separated from one another. For this purpose, the comparison or similarity of the forefinger and the middle finger of the same hand is more appropriate.
As it was important to show that it was not intended to give preference to one over the other, it was more appropriate to give the simile of the four fingers of both the hands. It is not proper to join the forefinger with the middle finger, because the latter is larger than the former, which could mean or imply superiority. Anyway, what is meant to convey is that the original words and meanings of the Holy Quran are with Ahlul Bayt, alayhimas salam, and no one else is more aware of them. Moreover, the Holy Quran in action is, along with all of its command and prohibitions, are with these gentlemen only, as mentioned in the Holy Quran about the virtues of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, that the Quran is his character. Likewise, these gentlemen testify to the truth of the Holy Quran. It is mentioned in a tradition that one third of the Holy Quran consists of their grace and one third in the condemnation of their enemies, or according to some narrations, it is one fourth.
This is in spite of the fact that the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has limited his words within such limits that all doubts are removed, making it crystal clear that my progeny is my Ahlul Bayt, alaihim assalam. Thus, this command has been directed towards that which is entitled to both. We know that, among those of a man's progeny who can be called his Ahlul Bayt, alaihim assalam, are his children and their grandchildren, and those who can occupy his seat, being nearest to him in blood relation. Despite all this, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has himself described that as to who are his Ahlul Bayt, alaihim assalam, as seen in successive narrations that the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gathered Amirul Mu'mineen, Fatima, Hassan, and Husayn, alaihim assalam, and covered them by a sheet saying, "These are my Ahlul Bayt and hence O Allah, keep impurity and evil away from them, and keep them clean of sins and vices, and keep them pious." It was at that moment that this verse was revealed, which is called the verse of purification. Seeing this, the Holy Prophets, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wife Salama asked, "O Prophet of Allah, am I not among your Ahlul Bayt, alaihim assalam?" The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, replied, "No, but you are virtuous."
In short, Allah has included only these persons in the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt and none else. Hence, it is incumbent that the Hadith Sakalain must be considered as related to them, or to those who can attract another evidence or proof. Scholars have also agreed that this divine command to have attachment, Thomas Sock, and to follow applies to both to them as well as to their progeny, because they have taken their place, Ka'am Makam. Many have said that, because of some probabilities, which have been described, it is necessary that Amirul Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, must not be included in Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam. Our answer is that those among the Shias who say that progeny must be sons and grandsons of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also say that though apparently the word progeny does not cover him, he being the father and elder of the progeny who is the best among them, he does come in the meaning of progeny on the basis of outward evidence. And if someone says that infallibility applies to one who is connected with both the book and the progeny, and not only to the progeny, then we would say that, in that case, this word would become senseless, because, when only the book is the Hojja, argument of God, and if a thing is not a Hojja in itself, then, there is no sense in joining it with the book. The progeny will have nothing to do with it. Rather, this applies to every person and everything. If it is in accordance with the book, it will be a Hojja. Therefore, giving speciality to the progeny, and to say in clear terms that the progeny and the book will not get separated from one another till the day of resurrection, is the proof that only their word is Hojja.
The Bakris and Umaris have raised a possibility, ijma or agreement of opinion of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, is Hojja. But it is of no use, because it is well known that they have agreement on the issue that, after the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Malana Amirul Mu'mineen al-Imam Ali, alayhi salam, is his caliph or immediate leader. Moreover, on the basis of the same tradition, it is necessary that in every era, there has to be an infallible Imam. Hence, we know that the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, addressed us in words only, to remove our excuse, and so as to complete the proof of God for us in the matter of religion, and to guide us, by pointing to a thing because of which, we can get rid of every kind of doubt.
It is mentioned in the narration of Zayd ibn Sa'abit, "Both the book and the progeny are my caliphs after me," because it is known that, it only aims to convey that, what they were bringing before me for decision during my lifetime, would henceforth, be brought before my progeny. We say that in this case, there will necessarily be either of these two. The first is that their ijma or agreement of opinion is Hojja as has been understood by the Bakris and Umaris, and second, there necessarily lives among them, in every age, an Imam whose word is Hojja. Now if the first thing is meant, then it would mean that, Allah forbid, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, did not complete the Hujjah for us, and did not remove our excuse. Because, it is not necessary that there must be an ijma or agreement of opinion on every issue, and it is possible that the ijma is only over 1 out of 1,000 issues of the Shariat. Thus, how can Hujjah be complete over a man who may not be able to fulfill our need except a little? Hence, this argument that, it is absolutely necessary that in every age, there must be Hujjah from the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who must be infallible, divinely endowed with knowledge, moral excellence, miracles, extraordinary genius, divine ordination and authorization, whose word can satisfy everyone fully. Thus, this is a comprehensive proof on the existence of the Hujjah.
As said before, it is absolutely necessary that in every age, there must be Hujjah from the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who must be infallible, divinely endowed with knowledge, moral excellence, miracles, extraordinary genius, divine ordination, and authorization. The arguments of the Shias provide the details. Since the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said that the two will not be separated from one another till the resurrection, the command about the book and its origin, is to remain till the last day. Therefore, it is necessary that Hujjah too, should remain along with its attribute, and one of them must be present in every age. Rather, the need of the Hujjah is more than the book, because the commandments of the Shariat can be derived in a very small number from the apparent Quran, and that too with some doubt.
That is why some people have said that the most clear-cut verse in the Holy Quran is the verse about wuzu, but there are 80 doubts regarding it also. So the details and original intention of the divine commandments do require a caliph, for complete clarification. Here, it also becomes clear that, they are not right, who say that approaching both the Quran and the progeny, is not possible. Because all commandments are not seen in the Holy Quran, and those which are seen, are also doubtful, and so their excuse is not removed by both. But the fact that this writing is a nas, clear-cut divine text, on imama and khilafah and obedience being compulsory is such that, nobody with an iota of wisdom and justice can deny it. It is as if a king leaves his city for some time and say, I am leaving such and such person among you behind me. What would it mean except that you should obey him just as you are obeying me? Likewise, if somebody leaves his house and while proceeding on journey says, I am leaving behind me such and such person between you. Does it not mean that, he says nothing but he is my substitute or deputy, and he is in charge of my house? Especially when he earlier says that I am also a man like you, and I am to answer my Allah's invitation very soon, and thereafter he says, I am leaving behind me for you the book and my progeny. Just as many books show the superiority of book over progeny, so also there are many traditions that show that the progeny is superior to the book.
In short, there are many clear and hidden meanings of the Quranic words. They are from 7 interiors to 70 interiors. According to many traditions, the word Quran and the entire Quran refers to Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam, and many narrations point out that the meanings of Quran, especially its hidden meaning, are related to Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam. Rather, the knowledge of what was, ma kana, and what is and will be, ma yakun, till the resurrection, and all codes of life and divine commandments are in the Holy Quran, and all this knowledge is with the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam, because they are clean of all sins and are infallible, and they are perfect in all human virtues. Similarly, most of the Holy Quran praises them and condemns their opponents as mentioned earlier. With this meaning also, it is clear that the praise of every perfect virtue turns back to the people having those virtues mentioned in Holy Quran, and since, for good reasons, such perfection is only with these persons, Ahlul Bayt, and as the condemnation of every evil mentioned in the Holy Quran, refers to the persons who have such vices, are the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam.
As the Holy Quran, by itself, is not a personality but an exposition, which has different pictures in different circumstance. As first, the angel was in the knowledge of the knower, Allah, then it appeared on the Lauhi Mahfuz, the protected tablet. From there, it was transferred to Jibreel, alayhi salam. Thereafter, from Allah, either directly or through Jibreel, it was revealed to the sacred and radiant heart of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefrom, it came to the holy hearts of the legatee, and mu'minin, faithful, and became manifest in the form of the book. Thus, in reality, the real sacredness is of the origins of the Holy Quran, and therefore, it made all those places sacred where it went. The place where it was more manifest became more sacred. Likewise sacred are the ink and the pen and the tablet on which the Quranic words are written. So much so that even the cover of the book containing the said words also became sacred. It is the place where the Quran's manifestation is the least, and yet it is so sacred that anyone who insults or abuses it becomes a disbeliever. Therefore, the heart of the believer whose heart holds the Holy Quran has the sacredness which is higher than the sacredness of the letters and the paper, as mentioned that the dignity of the believer is higher than that of the Holy Quran. Hence, the character of a man is in accordance with the virtues mentioned in the Holy Quran, the more will be his or her honor. On the contrary, if someone has evils instead of good virtues, the less will be his credit, and it will dishonor the Holy Quran to that extent.
In short, the Holy Quran and its virtues increase step by step or in stages, so much so that, when this apparent manifestation of the Holy Quran reaches the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his Ahlul Bayt, alayhim assalam, it attains its zenith. Therefore, if seen from the viewpoint of truth, the real Quran are these gentlemen who are actually the place of its words and the places of the meaning of the Quranic virtues. As you have come to know, the Holy Quran is that which contains the signs or letters of the Quran, and the signs of Quran in the meaning of its perfectness are the hearts of the believers, as said by Amirul Mu'mineen al-Imam Ali, alayhi salam, I am the speaking Quran. In short, the result of research, the essence of all these traditions is that this aspect of these righteous people, which is the aspect of their attachment with the Holy Quran and its knowledge, is higher and better than all aspects, as Allah Almighty has said, we have granted them from the aspect of knowledge, dignity over both worlds. 45:16, and about all the aspects of these great persons, which are like divine announcements, like their sacred lineages, they can also be included in the Quranic aspects or relevant aspects, but among all the Quranic aspects, the best one is the aspect of knowledge. Ibn Babawayh, Rahmatullah alayh, has, in most of his books, narrated from the chief of the martyrs, Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, that people once asked Maulana Amirul Mu'mineen Ali, alayhi salam, who are the progeny? He replied, I myself, Hassan, Hussein, and 9 imams from the descendants of Hussein, and the 9th of them is Mahdi and Qa'im, alayhi salam. Neither they will get separated from the Holy Quran nor the Book of Allah will get separated from them, until they come to me on Hawz-e Kawsar.
Safar, Rahmatullah alayh, has, in Basaira Darajat and Ayashi, Rahmatullah alayh, in Tafsir, narrated the tradition of 2 weighty things with a number of chains from the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. It is narrated in Basair from Imam Muhammad Bagir, alayhi salam, that the Almighty Allah has made 3 things sacred in the world, the Holy Quran, my progeny, and Holy Kaaba. But people made alterations in the meanings of the Holy Quran and changed it. Similarly, people ruined Kaaba and likewise killed my progeny. All these 3 were trusts of Allah and people sabotaged all of them.
It should be remembered that the traditions of 2 weighty things, the Ark and the Gate of Repentance, are all mutawatir, narrated by exceedingly large number of narrators, and all the traditionists of the Bakris and Umaris have quoted it, and Ibn Basir has said in Niyayah that it has been mentioned in tradition that I leave among you 2 heavy things. Here they are called heavy, segal, because it is difficult to get attached with them, and to act according to them. Every nice, and better thing is called segal. That is why they are called segal, as they are great and high ranking. Then it is mentioned in the ayat.
The simile of my Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, is like the simile of the Ark of Nuh, alayhis salam. Whosoever will dissociate from, it will be pushed into the fire by the Almighty Allah. It is mentioned in Kemuz that, Segl is that beautiful thing which is kept hidden, by people after obtaining it. So this is the meaning of, I leave among you two heavy things, the Book of Allah and my progeny. Sayyid Murtaza, Rahmatullah Alayh, has written in Ash-Shafi that, the proof of the authenticity of this tradition is that the entire Ummah has accepted it, and none has differed from it, except in deriving its hidden meaning, Tavil. It is a rule among the scholars that, if there is any doubt about the authenticity of a tradition, they first discuss about it, and thereafter derive interpretations. Their turning back from this rule is the proof of the matter that, they have not doubted about this tradition being true. Thereafter, Sayyid Murtaza, Rahmatullah Alayh, writes that a man's progeny is, according to dictionary, his progeny like his sons and their children. Some lexicographers have widened its meaning saying that a man's progeny are those who, in his lineage are the nearmost to him. So, according to the first definition, it is very clear that the truth about the word progeny applies to Imam Hassan, Hussein, alayhimus salam, and their progeny. According to the second saying, it will apply to them as well as to those like them who are closest to them in their lineage.